Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio in downtown Tempe, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm your host, Kara Nowicki, and I'm very happy to have a full house in the studio today. The long-awaited featured interview with Don and Dina of the Dina Preston Band and DEO Entertainment Group. Welcome to you both.
Great to be here. Okay.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, we're thrilled to have you. And in the studio with us as well, this crew brings their own fan club with them. We have Eric Torres of Ninja Tropic Media. Welcome, Eric.
Good morning.
And Dennis Brookshire, attorney and counselor with Heimsen, Goldstein, and Pentillet.
Pentillet.
Pentillet. Right. I thought I had it down. Welcome, Dennis.
Good morning.
I'm so happy to have all of you here, and I appreciate you taking time out to come during the holiday season. I know Don and Dean, I heard you mention that you've got a gig tomorrow night.
We just got back from El Paso.
Tis the season.
Tis the season to be traveling and holiday parties.
A bunch of them. My schedule is full and I'm not playing in any band. I'm just having to try to make all the rounds for family and friends. And what do they say? Sleep when you're dead, right?
That's right.
So tell us, how did you get started in the music industry, performing live? And yeah, just let's start with that. Who is the Dina Preston Band?
So I actually came out of San Diego. I had my own band for 10 years in San Diego. We were a number one band. And we decided to go on the road. We were picked up by an agent out of Minnesota and a good music agency years ago. Anyways, I was coming through Phoenix. I'd lost my guitar and steel player. I needed to pick someone up. I was visiting my parents. And I actually ran across Don 28 years ago, hired him to be my lead guitar player. And we've been together ever since.
Oh my gosh.
Quite a history.
There is some definite history there. And I know you guys have traveled, 43 or so countries?
43 countries, over 25 world tours for the USO, Department of Defense, Armed Forces Entertainment, and the U.S. State Department.
And a few corporate clients as well. We actually had a local corporate client take us to Russia, Moscow, and to Latvia. And we actually went with our current Phoenix mayor at the time. He was a city councilman.
Wow.
Yeah, Greg Stanton.
Yeah.
So I looked at Don's phone the other day and I saw his
message.
Yeah, message. And I'm like, Greg's emailing or sending you messages, Don? He's like, oh, every once in a while I hear from him. But it's Don, right?
So right, it is.
I'm the mayor.
Yeah. Right. You're the mayor of the lowercase m.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's sort of been my nickname for the band as well. So it's funny how that comes about.
He loves people. People love him.
Well,
clearly. And we love him too.
Yes, clearly. So how do you go about focusing on or landing with these important opportunities to play and perform in front of these kinds of audiences and groups and doing that kind of travel all these years?
So I think first, consistency is probably the key. You have to be able to be good at what you do, excellent at what you do. Like any business, and this is a business, we're musicians, but we're a business, and we learn that pretty quickly. When you have to feed your family and put a mortgage and all of that, it's no longer a hobby, it becomes a business. So consistency, making sure that we serve the client. The client's always the most important entity, more important than we are. So we're secondary to what the client needs are. And I think Dennis could probably attest to that. He had us recently with a party.
Absolutely. They did a wonderful, wonderful job for a private party that I was throwing for my significant other. And I wanted some live entertainment. And I immediately thought of the Dina Preston Band through my relationship with Don.
And you, Dennis, you're a musician as well. Am I right?
Some would allow me to include myself in that category. Yeah, I've played drums for pretty much my entire life. Yeah,
very good. And have you performed?
In my younger years, I had
nodding his head,
I
yes.
had my own groups, and we played all over the Northwest. Okay. I've sat in with some other groups as a relief drummer and whatnot, and got to sit in with a composite group known as Five Guys Named Mo, which are the remnants of the Quarter Flash group. And I'm going to forget the other guys, but two of the top 40 Northwest bands. got to sit in and do a whole gig with them. So that was kind of cool.
He says humbly, yeah, some might say that I am a musician. And then you lead in with that. I love it. Fantastic. But so this party that you threw for Carrie.
Yes.
Yes. Was great. People love the music and people get up and dance with your music.
At times. Don and Dean are consummate entertainers. And so they know how to read a party and make it go and get everybody involved. So it was very, very fun. And the nice thing about these guys is that I may be understating their repertoire, but I think they have something like 3,500 song repertoire, which being in bands is outstanding. Most local bands, they don't even have 100 songs that they know. These guys know 3,500 songs. So
that number's right. You're nodding your head yeses.
Between all the members of the band, It's amazing what we're able to come up with, because we never use a set list for any event that we do, because we customize each event to the client. As you know, no two clients are ever the same. The age groups are different. Their needs are different. We had the president of Samsung asking us what we're going to start with the first song, and we said, we don't know. And he looked at me really with a blank look, like, where's your set list? And it's like, no, we have to read the crowd when we go out. Are they still doing coffee? Are they having dessert? Are they intently talking to each other? It allows us to see where we need to start and where we need to gauge our volume as well for the room.
Yeah, and every event is different. So we may be doing a dinner set and people want to talk. They don't want to dance. We may be doing a concert where dancing, again, is not really the thing. This weekend, it was a holiday party and people were on the floor for 2 hours straight. But that was the event. That's what it called for.
Sure.
We saw a lot of $800 women's shoes being flung around the floor and barefoot.
Well, he thinks they were $800 shoes. They were like $3,000 shoes.
Oh, wow.
Tells you what I know.
Yeah, exactly. They were beautiful. It was a beautiful, beautiful party.
And when you have that many songs and that repertoire, you really can give any event exactly what it needs, right?
Yeah.
We have to tap into it.
Our job is to tap into what the needs are and then provide that. And that's, you know, that's providing a need.
Yeah, and that could be from Cole Porter to Bruno Mars. We had
Willie Nelson. We played all of that Saturday night, by the way.
Wow. So any genre, the right word for in music? So really, the gamut.
Truly.
Yeah. We're professional musicians, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think it's kind of cool because then by reading the crowd, which is what I encourage some of the other bands that I manage around town here to be able to do, is to almost invite the group, what do you want to hear? You know, you ask for requests and then you can, like Don said, play to your crowd, which always engages them. If a band is so regimented, they don't have but half a dozen or 30 songs that they know. Either the group or crowd likes them or they don't. And if they don't, then that's going to be a really bad evening for everybody.
Yes.
It's true.
But
it can really...
But for a group that's talented enough and has a big enough repertoire, then literally it's an oyster that you can just play to whatever they want and everybody will have a good time.
And that's back to Dina's point, how you get a reputation with everybody all over the world.
Yeah, whether it's an ambassador, or a king of a country, or a president of a country. You know, we've had a lot of different people. And what we've learned a long time ago is to make them the stars of the show. It's not about us. We're just a part of that package. But really, when you can, you know, when they're talking about it 2 weeks, a year later, you know, still impressed with the fact the president came up and sang, or the women came back from the sales team and sang R-E-S-P-E-C-T back to them. You know, those are memorable moments. And that's what you're really creating is a memory here, a time capsule. It's what you take away from the event that makes it an event. And people forget that as a musician side. It is a business. And for us is to make sure that we can congo line you out the door.
Yeah.
You know, that's, you know, almost forcing you out the ballroom because you've had such a good time, you don't want to leave. And that's what our job is.
So Eric also, who's our guest today, we had to be able to explain this to him and say, okay, Eric, we want to rebrand. Our previous brand was a guitar with the world on it, you know, to designate all the international tours that we had done. But it just, you couldn't really see it. You couldn't see the band name. And I know Don and I work closely with Eric to say, okay, how do we get this across what we do? And he came up with this fabulous brand that you're wearing right now.
I've got the t-shirt on. Yeah. So Eric, what was that like? You had mentioned before we came on air that you, I said, have you seen them play live? And you said, no, but I've watched
a lot of videos. And the cool thing about the band is it's very easy to check out their, I want to say online resume, but online portfolio of every country they've been, all the leaders and presentations they've had. And it's remarkable. You don't see that a lot. I mean, it's, and they have certificates. They have images of them in what, Azerbaijan, Saudi Arabia,
Afghanistan.
Afghanistan.
Who gets to do that?
You see,
Kiribati.
Yeah, with a helmet on and a bulletproof vest, it's remarkable.
We've been in some very hairy areas. Dangerous areas, really. And when we came to Eric, we were saying, you know, everybody's squinting at our brand. They can't really read that it says Dina Preston Band. They see it. It's a guitar. It has a globe on it. We need to, we're a brand for 28 years. We need to really make it stand out that it's not questionable.
Time to refresh it. Yeah.
Exactly. And I mean, you guys did an incredibly great job. I mean, Ninja Media,
Ninja Traffic Media.
Yes, did an incredibly great job. And coming back with it and then testing it in the market to see how our fans and people like
it. Loved it.
They loved it instantaneously. And then we said, okay, well, let's put a shirt out and see how that'll do.
Which you have on today, Karen.
Yes. Karen's wearing it today.
I think I saw it either on, I don't know, LinkedIn or Twitter or Instagram or who knows, any one of those social media things. And I hadn't gotten to know Don too well yet, just our acquaintanceship through Alliances. But I thought, that is a cool looking shirt and I want one. So I went out and got myself one. And I don't know, just a couple of days later, it landed in my mailbox and here we are today. But it really is. It's a fantastic logo. Dina, you had shared something earlier about some of the feedback you've gotten. Can you guys share some of feedback for Eric?
Right. So we have a friend that works with a big name entertainment act. I won't say who, but
sure.
Looked at it and said, wow, this is a $100,000 logo. What did you guys pay for it? And I told him, he's like, wow. He was just so impressed, not only just with the logo, but also with the font, because people don't realize how important font is. And font actually signifies, you know, an image and a brand and is saying something. So.
And it's noticeable immediately. That's the biggest part. And Eric Torres, it's great to see that his company was able to step up to the plate with us and recognize it and make it a reality for us. Because this is a brand name you're talking that's going to stay for a long time. And the logo is very important to us.
And I think it does differentiate us from not only bands here locally, but nationally and internationally. I mean, think about the things that we've done, as Don shared, we've toured in 43 countries. I have to keep asking him how many countries. I think 43 or 45, I don't remember. But we've done this all without a management or a record deal.
What?
Yeah, management, no record deal.
But to be fair, though, you have a PhD in marketing, right?
I have a DBA in business. So I have a doctorate in business. So, but that came later. That's a secondary, I won't say mistake, but that was a secondary accident.
Yeah,
happy
it was always
accident.
Music. Because we were doing Canadian tours, you know, before we were starting to overseas, we were doing these 12, 13 week tours.
Yeah.
And across the United States as well. And then, you know, to be asked to do the DOD, Armed Forces Entertainment, was in 1992. We were one of the very first groups to be in the Iraqi, Kuwaiti area. In the front lines there. And that was quite unique. And then who would have thought it would have turned into a 20-year process with them and then advance into the U.S. State Department, where we're now ambassadors of goodwill for the U.S. State Department and the U.S. embassies. And now we're teaching entrepreneurship, doing lectures, music masterclasses, and performing. So it really has developed into this unique package.
It's an enterprise. I mean, it's a full-on enterprise.
It really is.
Yeah, it is. So it's great to have the education. I encourage all small businesses and entrepreneurs. I work with small businesses all the time. But it's also the practical experience and being able to marry both. And I tell my students that all the time. You have to be able to marry both, because now we lecture for the U.S. State Department, and we hold master classes for small businesses when we travel. But it's about marrying practical experience with academics. You need both. You need education, however you can get it, but you also need the practical experience.
Yeah. Who would have ever thought we'd go to a place like Kiribati? I never even knew where that place was.
I couldn't tell you where that would be on the map.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, the places we've been able to go through music has been a gateway to the world. And then to have somebody like our Alliances group that we've been able to meet so many people that also work globally. And then to have somebody like Dennis come along and say, you know, I have a very unique evening that we have, and I think you guys would be instrumental in making that a great evening for everybody. You know, to having Eric branding us, it's really been a total alliance.
Perfect.
You know, and to meeting you yourself, Karen, yes. I mean, that's the great part of this. It's just not about us. Mm. We've learned that a long time ago. It's always been about our clients and to
and
have
working
clients.
With the team. Yep.
Like the El Paso client, this is the fourth time they just flew us back. It's incredible to have clients like that that just go, you know, you're starting to become the house group here.
I love it. They had us for 3 years straight. There's a new president every year. So the fourth year they said, you know, we love you, but we need something new. And we get that. You do need something new. You can't go see the same thing over and over and over and over
sure.
again. And so by the second year, they had another group come in. And then this year he called Don up and said, Don, we got to have you back. It's not working. What we're having
sure
in is
I'm
not
sure
working.
That, I was going to say troops. This is a corporate client,
yeah,
but I'm sure their
client.
Troops were like, hey, this was not the same.
But think about it. We played country music. We played Bruno Mars. We played dinner music, jazz music. That's a lot of...
Ray Charles.
That's a lot to cover in one gig.
Yeah.
And most bands can't do that. Some bands can. The better bands can. But many can't.
And then had the client actually come up at the end of the night and sing La Bamba with us.
Oh my God.
You know, so it was really...
Good night, sweetheart, to get them out the door because they weren't leaving.
Right.
And the gig was over with.
At some point, yeah, the venue's going to shut the lights down and scoot you out of there.
We would have stayed.
When I booked events, because I'm part of the organization I've been involved with for a very long time, we throw these big parties and whatnot. I reserve the room until 5 a.m. the next morning.
For that reason.
For that very reason. Because I don't intend to shut the party down.
That's great.
You know, rock on forever.
I
wanted to comment, the reason these guys can play such a variety of music is because they surround themselves with very, very capable and talented musicians. And that gives them the flexibility and capability of offering a variety of different genre, which most local bands, the guys may or gals may be talented, but they only can do one or two things. That doesn't mean they're not great at what they do. It just means that they don't have the same level of professionalism that when you start dealing with professional musicians that I've been around, you can tell the difference.
You know, Dennis is right about that. I mean, our keyboard player is a 5-time Emmy winner producer. Our bass player writes charts for Barbara Streisand. Our horn section is the Righteous Brothers horn section. So we do have the A-team, as Dennis said. You know, it's quite unique to have those A-team players around us. And of course, to give that to the client.
And, you know, many of us teach also, and our bass player teaches at the college music students. And the one thing he tries to tell them, they always come in with the idea that, you know, I want to be a rock star or whatever genre of music they want to be. And he keeps telling them, no, you can have an interest, that's fine. But to be a professional musician, you need to know these sets of rules, these sets of standards. And then from there, you have to continue growing your set list because you're not going to make a living knowing one set of music. You've really got to expand. So if we have any music students out there that
broaden
aspire
your
to be
musical palate.
Yes.
And
learn to love the music, whatever it is.
Learn to love the music, learn to be an entertainer and performer,
yes.
But also a business owner.
Absolutely. Run it like a business.
Yeah.
Yes, it is a business. And you know, that's, and like our tours, even our tours, we customize our tours. When we just did Fiji and Caribous, we actually write a song for the tour.
Oh my.
And what we do is teach it to the recording artists and the musicians abroad.
And our music students abroad.
And it's like creating a music video for your song. And then we get to show that response with the people being involved, singing, interacting
with
us.
Which is really
and
cool.
And it's magic.
It is magic.
So not only do they have the memory, but they have the song. They have that whole, they can feel the whole experience every time they interact with that.
Yeah. And, so they are part of that experience.
Yeah. I want to go back to something Eric said, because he didn't want you not to have credit around the marketing piece. Eric, when you first met them and you started to kind of research and listen to, you know, kind of, as Don said, what they were hoping to come across, what what stuck for you? What are some of the highlights that you thought, okay, when I create this brand, this logo, I help them with the branding, what were some of the themes that you...
I would say their obsession with customer satisfaction. I mean, everybody who talks to Dawn, and this is the first time I've actually ever met Dina in person, but I felt like I met her. Yeah, no, but I mean, Dawn speaks about her a lot, and it feels like we know her already. The team...
Likewise, yeah.
Right. You kind of think, all right, this is like Dina, that very business person, right? So it was cool. The immediate approach and the impression Dawn gives, it's absolute focus on customer satisfaction. Mm-hmm. And it isn't, I don't like to use that word customer, because it feels like something else. It's like a friend. And I think it's their personality.
Well, especially when we're talking high-end clientele. Yeah. You said kings, presidents, CEOs.
Fortune 500 companies.
I mean, holy cow. Mm-hmm. And so when we break it down, they are customers at the end of the day. But they, what I hear you saying is they're friends, mm-hmm. they're clientele, and they're mm-hmm. critically important people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, love it. Have you ever done any projects that have been at this... I don't know, this exciting or this caliber? Tell us.
Well, this one was fun because we do a lot of, I would say the highest brand we've worked with was Mercedes-Benz.
Sweet.
But that's very corporate, right? In a way, this is a growing, ambitious company that has world recognition, but still feels like a family. And this was kind of unique too. And I think what made us so successful was the fact that we were able to align a designer that matched that personality. I mean, There was some work, of course, but
yeah,
the people just aligned. My partner Carlos, he's a musician. The designer Noelia, it just worked out. It was kind of magic. The same way when you first meet somebody and you kind of like them, there's that connection there. So I think having a staff to pick from made it a little easy.
And on the receiving end, you guys in working with Eric and his team, what was that like for you? Did you know right away, oh, this, we picked the right crew?
Not only the right crew, but we're actually trying to work on a musical adventure with with Carlos.
Oh, yeah. We're trying to get them to play in El Salvador. I mean, give me wrong. It's a 2 or 3 year project, right? But the more connections we make down in the country, we're trying to connect them with the local audience, leveraging Dina's business savviness, right? Their ability to lecture courses and then create some type of platform where they play with local artists. They have a few seminars and they bring that worldwide recognition that they've done.
And Carlos has got to be over the moon about this.
Well, he immediately, I mean, so the cool thing with Dawn, it's, I'm not a music person. I know how I feel when I listen to their music, but I mean, like that's the only thing. And it's a good feeling. But my partner Carlos, music guy. I mean, they remind me of each other so much.
Yeah, we found that to be common.
Yeah. So it's as soon as you start talking to Dawn, I was like, oh my god, they're going to be best friends, and it's kind of a nice connection that we have,
and an important one. Yeah.
Well, that's kind of they do say, you know, music is the universal language, right? And that's why Dawn and Dina have been able to travel the world on behalf of the United States and as ambassadors, but it's why they can immediately reach out to Carlos, right?
Yep.
There is this connection when you hook up with musicians. I've been around them a very, very long time myself. And you start talking music and it doesn't matter your other backgrounds or where you're from. You know, it's all about the music.
Mm-hmm. Your family.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Instantly. And so here we are trying to work on coming to El Salvador, which is another part of the world that we've never been to. So it would be a great experience to have that happen. Who would have thought, like, for instance, the person that saw us in Azerbaijan would be responsible to bringing us to Budapest and then to Fiji and Kiribati. He liked us so much and saw what we had was different than anybody he's ever worked with, that now we've become this package, as I said, that's been different than just a group that goes and gives performances somewhere in the world.
For our business owners who are listening, obviously this is business to business radio, but there's so many little nuggets here, which Dina alluded to, and you're highlighting, Dawn, that you have to listen to what your audience and or your clientele and customers need and want and be willing to morph and grow, not lose who you are at your core, of course, but you've got to be willing to look to see how can we expand, what other offerings can we have, and who would have thought that, again, this enterprise would have developed all these years later?
yeah, we're still pinching ourselves 43 countries and 26 world tours later. We're going, how did that happen? And as Dennis, I think he really pinpointed it. You know, we've been able to keep our clients. We've been able to show that we are consistent with our product, that we care about our clients in a way that, as Eric said, it's more like having a friend. You become a friend. And whether it's been presidents or emirs or ambassadors, they feel the same way. And that's a unique feeling. And Dennis said it best, you know, music is the international language. And by sharing that again and again with the Dean of Preston Band, we also realized that our corporate clients are also of different cultures, different backgrounds. And because we've performed in so many different cultures and backgrounds, we also can meet and greet in different languages, which really surprises people. You know, if you can even say, you know, I want a beer, you know, it's amazing when you say it in a different language and they respond to you and it's like, wow, you just said something from my language. It's definitely a great way to get them smile and create a long-term relationship.
It's a little bit of sign of respect too. I've had the opportunity to travel around the world on behalf of the city of Portland, and the capability of communicating in the local language always shows that they're important enough for you to make the effort to talk to them in their language first, being, you know, the ugly American and always thinking that, you know, everybody should follow us, kind of a thing.
No, that's excellent.
Very true. I mean, think about when we were in Saudi Arabia, Dina actually had to walk 3 feet behind me and wearing an abaya. You know, but that's part of the rules that you're going to another country. You're respecting their culture, their protocols and etiquettes. And we know what we're getting into, but at the same time, we're representing and showing that we're respecting, as Dennis said, and coming away, giving them a sense that that we did respect them and that we gave them the best light. And it was a great experience for both identities.
Yeah. Eric had mentioned bulletproof vests. Neither of you have spoken to that yet. So where were you and what was that like?
I think it's been more than one.
Yeah, we wore it quite a few times. Our first time I was in the Bosnian conflict. We had to do convoys where we actually, our band, we had a driver and then we had a gunner in front of us, actually live ammo gunner and behind us. And we're right in the middle and you have to do 50 miles an hour and no stopping, no bathroom stops, nothing.
Except we did stop once and
one of our band members
ran out into the foliage and they said, they're screaming, stop, stop, stop. Retrace your steps. You're in a landmine. Yeah. Because we'd been in the vehicle for 6 hours. All I could think about was, you know, getting out and...
Yes.
Relieving yourself and only to find you're standing in a landmine.
Oh my gosh.
And he said, you need to retrace your steps.
Exactly as you went pouncing out
and
there.
And he said, everybody else, stay where you're at. Do not go.
And it was a scary moment.
Does it ever get, so you've done it several times. Mm-hmm. Do you ever feel more comfortable or is it a little bit of anticipation every single time?
It's okay now. Now we're doing State Department work, so we're not really going into the field like we used to. Our last trip with Guantanamo Bay, I think that was the second or third time. Afghanistan was probably, for me, the scariest.
It was the scariest because you're going directly to the front line.
Yeah,
you're right in harm's way immediately.
Lost us. They didn't know where we were at. They actually lost the band.
We were supposed to go back to Kuwait and...
They put us on the wrong plane.
They put us indirectly into Afghanistan without an escort.
Yeah.
And when we got there, the general literally was screaming at us and saying, who would dare send you into the theater without an escort?
We had no escort. So
and you're saying, I don't have
a clue. Yeah, exactly.
Hi, we're the band. Yeah. What?
So
what
they kept sending it. They kept putting us on planes.
The guitar movement.
Like they wanted to get rid of us. Like nobody wanted to have us. So they kept putting us on planes. And finally, what base did we land at?
Yeah, we ended up in Kabul first. And then we went from Kabul to Bagram, which is the headquarter
area.
I think
when we landed in Bagram, the colonel said, oh, you're the lost band. We found you. Okay.
Oh,
yeah, some heads are going to roll.
I think Washington didn't know where we were at. So they were concerned that we were flying around the theater with no...
Yeah, the band, okay, they were in Qatar the last time we saw them, and that's all we know about
them. Or like, hey, we're here, let us give a show, let us do a gig.
And we're like, you don't understand.
So
we were doing
just like stops. They would fly us into Uzbekistan, we'd do a night show, unload, do a show, play to 100 people, get back on the plane and fly into Kyrgyzstan. And then do it all over again. Go from Kyrgyzstan to Uzbekistan, through Bagram, and then Kabul. And then we ended up going back home. So we ended up getting quite a few weeks more.
And the logistics. We're not even going to logistics all. Because back then we had to carry all the band gear, all the PA system, everything. So the logistics were quite in customs, going through customs with all that.
Sure.
Wow. And that was the second or third time we were lost. We were actually lost on our first tour, too.
Very first tour.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they sent us to Diego Garcia.
Singapore.
We were there and they said, hey, we got a plane for you. It's supposed to take you. And LA. We're like, oh, no, we're not supposed to leave yet. And they go, no,
it's a plane to LA. You got to get on it.
And so off you go.
Yep. To off Singapore. No way to get in. Yeah, no visas.
Yeah, the loadmaster goes, who do you know in Singapore? I said, excuse me, we're supposed to be going to California.
Oh, he goes,
no, we're going to Singapore. I was like, okay. So that was a 15-hour flight in a C-130. That's very slow.
Oh my gosh, our first tour.
Very first time. And we land in Singapore and I called the Pentagon and said, I'm Singapore. You can imagine what that phone call was like. What are you guys doing? You know. So they said, we have a guy named Charlie. He's in Yokota, Japan.
The plane's going to Japan. Just stay on the plane.
Stay on the plane.
Like, okay.
So we got a 3-day vacation to Yokota, Japan.
Via C-130.
Yeah, right.
C-130.
Right. Got to go to Tokyo, which was
incredible.
We have so many of those stories. Oh, my gosh.
Right. After how many years? It's been
28 years. Being on the Orient Express. Who would have ever thought we'd be able to do something like that? You know, amazing trips. You know, it's just playing for presidents, emirs, ambassadors, of course, generals, getting them up on stage in front of their troops was always fun. But now that we do the U.S. State Department and U.S. embassies, it's a different vehicle for us. And it's a great way to teach entrepreneurship through music, make a memory from the song that we usually write, and then get them to sing and perform it with us. Because it goes both ways with them. It's a memory for them and also for us. And to have the corporations like we're doing tomorrow night, we're at the Hilton. It's a 800 people event, you know, and just to think Friday, we had done a Mardi Gras event where we actually had stilt walkers and all kinds of stuff coming through the entrance. So that's what's so cool about our events. They're so different and innovative that no two are ever the same.
Well, and I want to speak to that. It's a great segue. I was going to feel naive asking this, but the DEO Entertainment Group piece of this is the event planning component of your enterprise,
right? It's actually a corporate entity. So we got an angel investor in 1993 to do an album. Back then, there were actually records, if you remember.
I do, actually.
I still have all of my 33 LP black vinyls.
Oh.
I love it.
I need to go get another.
Eric, we're going to Dennis's house after this.
Just a bit. I mean, I've read about them.
Yeah, really. Anyways, but we had an angel investor that invested in us. We were able to do a CD. It got regional distribution and Warehouse Records. Remember Warehouse Records?
Yes.
I remember actually finding as they were closing down and in the 99-cent bin, a copy of our cassette back then. So anyways, CD. That was fun. When we got the investment, we started Sole Proprietor. And we went from a sole proprietor to an LLC. We opened up DEO Record Productions in 1993 to process all that. That's when I figured out I needed to get my MBA. So that's when it started.
That was the accidental
on purpose, get the MBA so I know what I'm doing. Because we actually had some people take some money from us. And if we'd been educated, we would have known. So went back and got my MBA. We went from a sole proprietor about 2000. We decided to go into become an LLC because LLCs were just, I think, were just beginning to be formed around the late 90s, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
They became pervasive early to mid 90s as states adopted that entity format.
So we knew it was a way to protect ourselves from liability and financial liability and personal liability. And then we actually became a broker. And we took over, if you remember, Mountain Shadows property.
Marriott
Mountain Shadows. And we became one of their entertainment providers. And we really started making some good money. So we went from an LLC and went into being an S Corp to help us with our tax.
DEO Entertainment
Group. So DEO Entertainment Group really is a corporate entity. And so as, when we were brokering DEO Entertainment Group, DEO Entertainment Group, right? And then the crash hit in 2008, 2009. And really, a lot of people don't use brokers anymore. They go directly to because of Google, because of there's web apps now that people use.
Sure.
So when the crash hit, we, you know, I did a quick analyzed our purchasing and buying and realized that we made the most money with the band. Even as a broker, we made a lot of money with the band. So we got rid of everything else, focused just on the band. And that really got us through the
Yeah, because we recession. Had long-term clients.
So DEO Entity is still the corporate entity. DEO Preston is really a sub-business unit, sure. Gina Preston Band. And if we were to do, in the future, working on a documentary and maybe a show for Branson. But if we need to create another sub-entity, we'll do that as well. But that's DEO Records and
Productions. Okay.
That's DEO Entertainment Group from DEO Records and Productions. Mm-hmm. Does any of that make sense on the business people?
It does. It makes complete sense. Yeah. And it's, again, for our listeners who are typically business owners.
Yeah, I think it's a great growing story, isn't it? That yeah. we've gone from the very, you know, very easiest formation to, you know, something a little bit more sophisticated based on our needs.
Yeah. And so the my naive question was really around this event planning piece of it, because you had mentioned this most recent Mardi Gras party with the people walking on stilts. So tell us about that, Don. This is not, I mean, everything you've shared is just
sure.
incredible, but it's more than entertaining through music. It is throwing a party.
Exactly. DEO, we used to provide more like tables, linens, chairs, flowers, catering, the whole thing, and the entertainment. Now, we still provide the entertainment part because a lot of people, like Dina said, will look up the tables, linens, and chairs, but they can't find the right entertainment to fit their budget or what they're specifically looking for. So being here for 30 years, I do have a wide range of musicians, from solo artists to mariachis to folk dancing to Irish to yeah. Oktoberfest to comedians to having a full orchestra. So I'm still able to provide that. And I do for a lot of identities and corporations and big housing developments like the Trilogy of Estancias, things like that. But the main part is we focus on the Dina Preston Band. Mm-hmm. And because that identity still travels around a lot, we are a brand that everybody recognizes along with the DEO brand umbrella. And so we've just been fortunate enough to say, hey, we're still doing this 43 countries, 26 world tours, 28 years later, and we're still traveling and making our clients happy today.
What percentage of your clientele is referral then? I would imagine it's got to be big.
I would say at least 90% of our clients are base clients. So we keep our clients. We don't.
Oh, so not just referral, but these are people for 28 years.
And they may not come back every year, but they may come back every 2 years. They may come back, but they always come back. So I would say about 90% of our business is that. I would say about 10% is referrals and or coming in through like apps that we use, music apps that we use.
Because sometimes people change to another business and they'll just carry us right along with them.
Right.
And they'll say, oh, well, now that I work for this company, we'll just have you guys come here and do this.
A lot of our referrals do come through the event planners at the corporate, at the resorts. So the event planner, the banquet manager at the resorts will refer us because they work with us and they trust us. And you know, when you're using a business-to-business product, it's all about trust and making sure the consistency is there.
And the event planner has to create that for him or herself. And then when...
For their client.
Right, for their client. And then that relationship has already been built. So they get the luxury of saying, trust me on this. You want the Dina Presta Band here.
I say out of the 90%, I would say probably about out of that 90% of the repeat business, I would say at least 75% are meeting planners, other brokers that use us in their own events.
And as Dennis said, they like the fact that we have a wide musical palette. For instance, if it's a country theme party and the group's from Chicago, they might not want to hear country all night long.
They usually don't. They want the ambiance, but then they're done like after the first hour.
But that's important to know.
Yeah.
Right.
Be able to transition into whatever the crowd wants.
By the way, Dennis, don't share our secrets with the other bands.
Yeah, I heard that. It's funny you say that. I thought the same thing when Dennis was saying that.
Well, it's not really disclosing any big secret in the industry. And I'm not worried by it at all because I've been preaching this now for 30 some years with the bands I've been involved with, and only a few of them get it.
You know what? Right. I knew you were going to say that because oftentimes I had a guest speaker here recently. What was his name? Danny Creed. An entrepreneur coach. And he said the same thing, Dennis. He questioned some guy one time who was giving away all of his secrets. And Danny, when he was new, wet behind the ears, he's like, why are you telling them like all this great information? You ought to have them pay for it. But this gentleman said the same thing. Listen, about 1% of these people are actually going to follow this sage advice.
Absolutely. And get it and take it to someplace beyond that. And that individual or company, would ultimately have figured it out anyway, because it's another indicia of their capability and intelligence to see, adopt, and grow. And that's why most small businesses fail anyway, is their inability to do any of that or refusal to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very true. And as you said, having the Mardi Gras the other night with stilt walkers and all that kind of stuff, palm readers, you know, it's an event. And you're trying to create an event where they can have a good time. They're in a corporate environment doing meetings most of the time. So this is where they actually get to have some fun. And for 3 hours, we're trying to get them to forget about being in the office, thinking as your person, as a working partner, work as a team on having a good time.
Love that. And not every corporation knows how to do that. So they've got to have you as a part of it.
Beautiful. Right.
Yeah.
And pushing it to that area where they really have a great time. And then, of course, the walk away, you know, are they still talking about it 2 weeks later, 2 years later, you know, to the point where they're going to say, we should hire that group again.
And laughing and smiling and remembering when the CEO or the founder got up and sang or did the conga line out of the room. I
mean, we've had the whole thing turn into a karaoke with the band where we open up our set list to the group. They've had their event and now they want to really let go.
Yeah.
And now we're looking at 2 hours of overtime. And next thing you know, the banquet manager's looking at you. Everybody's going, my watch. And it's like, the client's having a great time.
We love that. Yes.
It's not over till the client says it's over.
Yeah. Again, to Dennis's point.
Well, you know, and I always have to laugh at those banquet managers. It's one, you know, the room rate's just gone up, right?
Right.
The bar is still selling booze, you know, and so the facility is making money. So it's not like it's any big imposition.
You may want to go. Your feet might hurt. You may want to go home, but everybody else is having a good time.
Right,
exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what we try to warn people when we're at the event. Don't wear your half hour shoes.
Actually, last time we were at one of the resorts, the banquet manager said, how long are you guys booked for tonight? He wanted to know. Yeah. I said, I think we're done 11:30. Because okay. I think he was afraid we're going to say one.
Yeah, until he saw 12:30 coming.
And then, right.
Actually, I think we did stay an extra hour.
It was an extra hour.
Fantastic.
So that's our goal, is to make sure the client just has a great time. That's all that it's really about. It has nothing to do with us, except that we know how to engage them, get him there, get everybody to have a great time, and just enjoy themselves. That's the bottom line with the Dina Preston Band, is have a great time, walk away, and come back again and have another great time.
Love it. We have a little bit while left. Actually, we got plenty of time. If you're okay with it, be willing to stay in the studio a little bit longer so we can put the highlight on Dennis and Eric.
We would love that.
Absolutely.
Good. So Dennis, let's turn the conversation a little bit around you and your practice. What would you like to share with our listening audience about who you are and what you're up to in the business world?
Well, I'm a native Oregonian, now transplanted like 80% of the people in the Phoenix metropolitan area.
How long have you been here?
I've been here since 2005.
Okay.
So I like to say in many respects, long enough to know better. But came down from Oregon, and I've spent my entire career, which now is getting close to 35 years, focusing on business types of clients, small to up to Fortune 500 companies, but predominantly the small business owner, solo practitioners, small LLCs. It's a growth function for all businesses. And I take a lot of pride in the fact that some of my clients have been around with me for 30 years. So I've seen them start, grow, develop success and or failure, and transition. And the reason I enjoy doing that is because you become very, very close to them, right? You know everything about them as a person, their business, and you guide them. You're their most trusted advisor, and that's how I practice my relationships with my clients.
Wow. The word counselor was at the end, you know, in your little title, attorney and counselor. What, help me understand what that means. Again, I'm showing my naivety here, but how would you explain that title?
Well, it's kind of a development out of kind of an old style of reference, going even back to England when there was a division between barristers and solicitors. The barristers are the ones that are admitted to be able to practice in front of the English courts. Here in America, we don't have that distinction, but over the years, you can always function in the legal capacity as a lawyer or attorney for the client, but the best lawyers are counselors for their clients. You guide them. You're not always just doing their legal work. You're guiding them with strategic planning. Most of the time, a business owner is so busy doing their business, whatever it is, they can't think forward. Well, that's what I do. I am their forward thinker. I am a great chess player because I am always 15 moves ahead, not only in the game, but for my clients. Where do you want to be 5 years from now? What's your exit plan? Are you going to die in the chair? Or do you want to sell this thing successfully and retire? Well, those kind of planning things don't happen overnight, and you have to begin the process to achieve that goal. And so that's where my counselor aspect comes into it. Just I guide them.
I'm really glad I asked that question because I would never have known that's what it meant, but it's really clear that had you just used the label attorney, I would not have garnered all that, the coaching, the guiding, the mentorship, the forward thinking without that counselor attached to attorney and counselor.
I have many clients that know that if they're in a jam of any kind, not just a legal jam, that if they don't know who to call, they literally call me. I've had calls in the middle of the night when someone's breaking into their house. They called me before they even called the cops.
Wow.
Should I shoot him?
Well, that was part of the conversation. Okay. But that's what I really work hard to develop with my clients. I want them to know that when they don't know who to turn to, they just pick up the phone and call me, and I will take care of them. Incredible. Whether it's me personally or having a resource to guide them to someone, that's my job as their lawyer and counselor for life. And that's how I approach my relationships.
Yeah. Don's nodding his head with a big grin.
Yes.
Yeah. Excellent. Thank you for sharing. And I hope you will come back to the studio again.
Love to do that.
We'll shine the spotlight even deeper and further if you'll allow us to.
A call for counseling.
Yes, right. Exactly. Eric, tell us more about Ninja Tropic Media.
Well, we are an animation studio, and our two primary products are explainer videos and e-learning videos. So a lot of people have a lot of information that they want their customers to absorb. They have a lot of information that they want their customers to absorb, right? And most people hate to read. So what we're really good at is taking our clients' information and making it visually appealing, adding sound, and creating somewhat of a story behind it. Now, I like to say for our explainer video products, we know how to make a great first impression on your website. Because when somebody visits your webpage, it's either through social media, natural traffic, or they met you in an event. But the chances are they're not going to go and read everything on your site. And maybe they can't. If you're like me and I have a bit of a dyslexia, I'm looking for that play video. It's something that I'm drawn to as a millennial. It's something that I was raised with. I love YouTube videos. So we create somewhat of an animation story for basically to explain the value, to explain the unique advantages of the company. And I'm very proud of the fact, a lot of people don't like to brag about this, to say that we're very competitive with pricing. Typically with an animation, it takes between 20 to 50 hours of work. But in Phoenix, we've created a model where we're leveraging global resources to bring a nice completed package together. And it's quick.
And therefore, the pricing can be highly competitive.
Yeah. No, it's sad. It's nice. I mean, I always tell people I'm not a salesperson. So for that reason, I have to be very competitive in what I offer, mm-hmm. right? And I love to build things too. So whatever we can put in front of the client, something that they didn't think was possible, they speak to people, we try to make this e-learning video or explain a concept here, but it wasn't an option. or, you know what, I want to have a video that explains what we do, but I'm kind of shy in front of a camera. And some people just don't belong on camera. I really got to emphasize that. I mean, I'm including myself. So I'm going to throw that out there. So it's okay if...
I don't know. I disagree, but we're radio. So you're, you know.
Well, I had a few drinks already. So no.
And
it's not even a drink.
And of course, there are some people that should not be on camera.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I do. I agree with that. And are you, so your team is comfortable saying to them, listen, there are other ways to get your message out there and have a video, but you're not going to be on it. No.
Yeah. I mean, we are, sometimes we are able to pull some miracles off. We'll get some footage from a client and we're thinking, I mean, the person, it's a CEO of a company and they, you know what, they just might not be that dynamic, right? Mm-hmm. And this is where you take them off the camera and add a ton of animation. You really focus in on their animated features, right? Mm-hmm. But it's sometimes a challenge and we have to have that conversation. Look, like with these ahs and ums, these pauses, these stutters on camera, there's not a lot to work here, but this is what we can do. We can feature it this portion and then wrap this up with a professional voiceover and animation.
That's really critical. I'm guessing that people in your industry want to be sometimes just saying yes to appease. And if whoever wants to be on camera or feels like they're the voice and the face of the company, and they're not really good at being out there, they're going to end up with a product that they're unhappy with. And everybody's disappointed all the way around. So clearly you, like Don and Dina have been sharing, well, and Dennis as well, listening to your clientele, really advocating and mentoring and guiding so that they are thrilled with the end result at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's one of the key components too, because I'm thinking some people have amazing products, but they just don't know how to explain it, right? There's value there, but and this is when I convince them, look, your product is going to sell this. We just need to explain what X, Y, and B does to the client and why it's better. You don't have to be the all-star of the show. And that's something I'm learning for my business as well. Like I'm pushing all of our on-camera work down to Carlos. The guy's great on, he's an actor, right?
He's great.
I mean, so he knows it. Yeah.
Yeah. I have no ego on that. I mean, as long as my product's good, which it is. I mean, if somebody else can showcase it better, somebody who's born to be on camera, great, right? The client's happy. I'm happy because the business is growing. And then I get to feature somebody on camera who's a little more handsome than I am.
Well,
that is a dynamic that you just touched on, Eric, in that regard. You, especially in the, basically the promotion business, right? You're promoting a client or product or service. You have to be able to manage that ego because the person that started that product or service or company attached. Is totally vested in it and they think they're the one. And they may not be the best one to pitch their product
Very
or service.
True.
That's a tough job, managing egos.
You have to be
egos.
Sensitive to that, but you also have to advocate that it's in their best interest.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
How do you let them know that you're going to pull the lefty out of the bullpen?
These are concepts I teach in Public Relations 101, what they're talking about.
I love it.
These are public relations concepts. Sometimes the owner is not the best spokesperson. They're not dynamic enough.
And how do you handle that with kick gloves?
And how do you handle
that? Wow.
Yeah.
And I really see that as somewhat of an impediment to small mom and pop shops, right?
Sure.
Like you have an owner who's just used to being the center of the show. I mean, if you want to stay that size, if you want to resume providing the same value and not grow, yep, you can be the center of attention. But at a certain point, you have to stick to what you're good at and then find somebody a lot more attractive than you to be the centerpiece of the show.
Right. The spokesperson is the message.
And letting go is not always easy to a business owner, like you said, that needs the growth. And I'm glad we've been able to do that. It's made it better for us. And of course, look at the branding product that you were able to put out for us. It made all the difference in the world.
Oh, man, my ego is this high. I mean, like my eyes are starting to water.
We'll widen the door before you leave. No, it's really a treat to have you be here, having taken care of elevating the brand and really refreshing it for the Dina Preston Band. And it was Don's idea to have both you and Dennis. And I'm really pleased that, you know, even though I said, hey, I've got four seats, four mics, bring people who, you know, you'd love to spend some time with and can talk mutually excitingly about all the things that you're up to. So to have both of you share about your business is a real treat. And now I understand the media part of Ninja Tropic Media. So logos, I mean, that's just one of the many things that you'll offer.
Yeah, we practically did that for free. right? I mean, like, it wasn't even, I mean, that's not a core product.
He basically said, we've never done that before, but we'd love to work with you on this. And it just came together like magic for both of us.
Yeah. I mean, we hire graphic designers because the thing is, if you understand branding, you know how to, the hardest part about creating an animation for a company is aligning something that somebody might perceive as cartoony to a professional brand. And that is incredibly challenging. But if you have a good designer behind it, that's half the battle. And then the rest of it's just aligning the personality to make sure there's a good fit. So it's having that brand perspective really makes a difference.
Yeah, especially for us because we're a global brand. So it was very important to make sure that we had the world included. And our brand, as we had sort of before, but it wasn't as pronounced as it is now. So it's really great because you can really read the Dina Preston Band logo part of it, as well as our logo that goes with it. It really is an outstanding logo.
So I think one thing small business owners can take is they're talking about the art, which is a graphic design, but the strategy behind the art. And you actually need both. And it really takes two different mindsets to get that right. Mm-hmm. So we got the strategy for a long time, but I think you really brought in the artwork that we needed to help support and promote the strategy, the marketing strategy. And you need both.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love that you mentioned that that isn't something that you really typically will embrace the way that you did. I mean, if you see that a company needs that piece before you go do the video and that aspect of the business, you'll help them. But this was the project for Don and Dina.
Yeah. It's great. Actually, I'm thrilled that it worked out, right?
Yeah, love it. And here you are on Business Radio X having a chance to talk about it. Mm-hmm.
Now Eric, though, can run around and say, you know, I develop $1 million designs.
That's right.
Yes, you can.
And,
yeah,
absolutely.
And price accordingly.
Yes, you can. working on that piece.
It's terrible. I know this might sound weird, but I don't like to make money on that type of thing. So I'm more excited about building.
Let me talk to you.
Yeah. No. Right. Like, I think my obsession with building things will get me far, right? I mean,
obviously,
I'm not trying to. Maybe in the future,
you have a natural love for it.
Yeah,
well, I mean, it's obvious.
Like, I get excited the fact that if it's helping you guys grow, like, I would have done it for free. I mean, but I got to pay somebody to do it, so I got to balance it out. So.
It's similar to why I fell in love with Business Radio X too, because the guest experience is a free complimentary experience, and not everybody who comes in as a guest is going to want to stay and have their own show and sponsor, and which is where the revenue is for us. But I love being of service first, and that's the majority of people that I'm going to get to spend time with. So similarly, in all the things that I've done in my career, this is the first time that it's bringing together all of my talents and skill sets and about givers gain first without any expectation in return. Mm-hmm. And yet we're always going to find that when we have these connections and the relationships just begin to spark and fizz like it has with these guys, who knows where it's going to take you? I mean, you've already spoken to, you know, what the possibilities in this 2 or 3 year project down the road. I mean, how exciting is that?
Exactly.
Yeah, incredible.
And the growth. You know, that we've been able to have an experience with each other just here in this room. It's great. And to know it's going further. That's the expansion,
it is,
you know,
it's relationships. I mean, it really is. And I think Dennis had said it early on, you have to have talent. You have to have a skill set. That's how all of us have gotten this far in our companies and our growth and our personal and professional experiences. And also lifting each other up as we climb is what it's all about. It really has been a pleasure to be with you guys. If you can believe it, we're at the top of the hour.
Wow.
Thank you so much.
Oh my gosh. Really quickly. Before we end the show today, if I could just ask each of you to share how our listeners can get a hold of you and stay in touch and learn more. So if we could start with Don and Dina.
Yes, you can find the Dina Preston Band at dinaprestonband.com. That's DINAPRESTON. band.com. And you can also call me directly at 623-330-0267. We'd love to hear from you, whether it's about a new event or something that you have coming up with a great idea for entertainment.
And also say hi on our Facebook page, Twitter, LinkedIn, social media,
Instagram, all those areas. Please say and like us. And if you heard today, comment.
Excellent. Let us know what you think.
Perfect. And I'll make sure I have all your links to everything. Dennis, how about you? How can we get a hold of you?
Best way to reach me is through my direct email, which is dbrookshire@hgplaw.com. And my office number is 480-991-9077. I'm not as sophisticated on the social media, so you may or may not be able to find my webpage out there since I don't manage that kind of stuff. So that's the best contact for me.
Perfect. And Eric?
Great. So two options, www.ninjatropic.com, ninjatropic.com. And you can hop on there, chat with my employees. If you want to have fun, mess with them, tell them very mean things. They won't know who you are. So
say please, hello to Carlos.
Yeah, please take advantage of that. They won't know. I like every now and then I'll go in there and just mess with them. And then, of course, Eric, E-R-I-C-K, E-R-I-C-K at ninjatropic.com.
Oh my goodness. So fun. I'm going to go mess with your employees.
Please do.
But before I do that, I'm going to go downstairs and have some Dough Mama pizza. They're on with us at 2 p.m. and we've invited them to serve some lunch to everybody here in the Wells Fargo building. So hopefully you'll stick around for that. You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X. Some media leans left, some leans right, and we lean business. Until next time, I'm Kara Nowicki.